Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21-2011.com. That's May-21-2011.com. And we're continuing in the book of Revelation. We're now in chapter 2, and in this study, we will cover verses 23 through 29. I'll begin by reading the verses, and then we'll go into an introduction, and then we'll take each verse one by one and end with a summary and conclusion. So let's begin by reading the verses. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. In this study, we will look at the second part of the message to the angel of the church in Thyatira. In this message, we find that Christ will kill the children of Jezebel with death, and the result will be that all the churches will know that Christ is the one who searches the reins and hearts, and he will give unto every one of them according to their works. But unto the angel and the others of the church in Thyatira who do not hold to the doctrine of Jezebel and who have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, Christ will put upon them none other burden, only they must hold fast what they have already. Then Christ says to all in the church who have not held Jezebel's teaching, he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And finally, not only will Christ give him that overcomes and keeps his works unto the end power over the nations to rule them with a rod of iron, but he will also give him the morning star. And then Christ concludes, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Now as we look at each verse in more detail, may our Lord Jesus Christ lift our minds unto heavenly things, that we might comprehend just how deep and wide are his teachings, and that we might overcome and keep his works unto the end. Amen. Let's look at our first verse in more detail. That's verse 23 of Revelation 2, and I'll begin by reading that once again. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works. Yes, because all those in the churches near the end of the church age would not repent of their spiritual adultery with Jezebel, that is, their following after false Christs with the Christian church, the Lord cast them all into great tribulation on May 21, 1988, by giving them over to the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the man of sin, Satan. And he made it impossible for any one of them to become eternally saved in all the churches who were not already saved. Furthermore, as we read in our verse, and I, that is Christ, will kill her children with death. Here, Jezebel's children refer to all those that followed her false teachings and Christ's. These, the Lord says, he will kill. And when he says that he will kill them, he is looking into the future, when on May 21, 1988, he first spiritually killed them by making it impossible for any more of them to ever become eternally saved inside the churches, which ensured that they would all remain spiritually dead in Adam, and when on the last day he will actually physically kill them all, never to live again for all eternity. Now our verse continues, "And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts." That is, on the last day when the Lord destroys all those who have a part in a church, then all the churches will know that Christ is he which searches the reins and hearts, because on that day is when all the falsehood in their innermost beings will be exposed for what it really is, namely the following or worshiping of a counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the man of sin, Satan himself. Yes, ever since the beginning of the Great Tribulation on May 21, 1988, Christ fed all those in the churches a strong delusion that they would believe a lie, because they received not the love of the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2, 10-11. But on the last day, their false beliefs will be exposed for what they really are, namely, as great sin, and they will all be destroyed or killed forever. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Yet not only will all the churches know on the last day that Christ is he which searches the reins and hearts as their sins are brought to light, but they will know that Christ is he which gives unto every one of them according to their works, as they will see themselves being killed because of their works of following false Christs and false teachings. It will be a terrible time for them. They all thought that they were being eternally saved, or were saved, and they appeared to be devout Christians who went to church. But it will be revealed on the last day that they were all following Satan himself. Can you imagine the emotional pain and suffering this will bring to all those in the churches? So it will be for all those who would not obey Christ's command to depart out from all the churches during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. Well, let's move on to verse 24 of Revelation 2. Verse 24, which says, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden." Here we are simply being told that all those of the church in Thyatira who do not hold to the teachings of Jezebel, who have not known the depths therefore of Satan as they speak, Christ will not put upon them any other burden. Along with all the normal burdens of life, they have just been given the burden of standing up against Jezebel and her teaching, and seeking to stop her from teaching and seducing Christ's servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And this is one big burden upon them that Christ sees as being plenty enough. Therefore, we read that he will put upon them none other burden. But how now does the burden of trying to stop Jezebel from teaching have any bearing upon us? If we will remember that Jezebel is a type or picture of the apostate church near the end of the church age, and those in the church who did not hold to her teaching are a type or picture of us who were in the churches near or at the end of the church age on May 21, 1988. Then we see that we were the ones on whom was placed the burden of standing up against Jezebel, that is, against the church in the latter days. And as we remember how it was in the churches in those days, we immediately remember what a burden it really was. The church, Jezebel, was teaching that Christ died, for example, for everyone. And now it was up to the individual person to make a decision for Christ to be saved, so that salvation was part of God and part of man. But we, the elect, stood up against her teaching to say that Christ died only for his elect, and that we, the elect, were saved not by our own decision, but by his own decision, which was made before the foundation of the world. For God had said in Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And in John 15:16 we read, you have not chosen me, Christ said, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Yet Jezebel, that is the church, did not like what we had to say, so they ignored, shunned, and finally spiritually killed us, that is, silenced us, at some point between May 21, 1988 and September 7, 1994, during the Great Tribulation. And again, when Jezebel, the church, was teaching that Christ is still giving direct revelation through dreams, visions, prophesyings, tongues, words of knowledge, and the like, we stood up against her to say that these things ended when the Bible was completed in AD 95, approximately, for Christ had said in Revelation 22:18-19, for I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. And that is the whole Bible. It's not just talking about the book of Revelation, because the Bible is a cohesive whole. To add to the book of Revelation is to add to the whole Bible. And to add to another part of the Bible is to add to the book of Revelation, because the Bible is a cohesive whole. Therefore, for I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, that is the whole Bible, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Nevertheless, Jezebel, that is the church, did not like what we had to say. So they ignored, shunned, and finally spiritually killed us, that is, silenced us, at some point from May 21, 1988 to September 7, 1994, during the Great Tribulation. And again, when Jezebel, the church, taught that women could become pastors, elders, or teachers of the congregation, we stood up in opposition against her, because God said in 1 Timothy 2:11-12, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And in 1 Corinthians 14, God said in verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law. Yet Jezebel, the church, did not like what we had to say. So they ignored, shunned, and finally spiritually killed us, that is, silenced us, at some point from May 21, 1988 to September 7, 1994, during the Great Tribulation. And yet, once again, when Jezebel the church taught that divorce and remarriage was permissible under certain circumstances, even though the ex-spouse was still living, we stood up against her and reminded her that God had said in Luke 16:18, "Whoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery." It doesn't matter what the reason is. "Whoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." And again we read in Mark 10:11, "And he says unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and he and be married to another, she commits adultery." Furthermore, to show further that God is against divorce and remarriage, we read in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 through 11, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband." Why not let her? Because God is against divorce. "Let not the wife depart from her husband, but if she depart," that is, if she decides to do it anyway in sin, "let her remain unmarried," that is, she can't go marry someone else, "let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." So it applies to both the husband and the wife. They are to remain single if they divorce or be reconciled. Those are the only two options. And we read as a conclusion in 1 Corinthians 7:39, "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord." And again, we read in Romans 7, 2 and 3, "For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But and if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." So then, if while her husband lives she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So, given all this information against divorce and remarriage, if the two spouses are still living, we stood up against Jezebel, the church, with the truth. Yet Jezebel, the church, did not like what we had to say, so they ignored, shunned, and finally spiritually killed us, that is, silenced us, at some time from May 21, 1988 and September 7, 1994. That's when God's elect, many of God's elect, were spiritually killed or silenced during the Great Tribulation. Even as the Old Testament Jezebel had killed the prophets of the Lord in 1 Kings 18:13. And we could go on and on about the false teachings of Jezebel, that is the church, when leading up to the end of the church age on May 21, 1988, and into the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. But I think you have the idea. We in the church, who did not commit spiritual adultery with the church, that is with Jezebel, with all her false teachings, had the tremendous burden to trying to get her to repent of her spiritual fornication and adulteries. And the Lord knew that it was a great burden upon us indeed, so that he would give us no other burden. And therefore he wrote, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine," that is the doctrine of Jezebel, "and which have not known the depths of Satan," that is all the false teachings of Jezebel, "as they speak, I will put none other burden upon you. Moving on to Revelation chapter 2, verse 25. This is verse 25, a very short verse. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. In this verse, Christ tells all those of the church in Thyatira who do not hold the teaching of the woman Jezebel to hold fast that which they already have. That is, even though Christ put upon them none other burden than standing up against the teachings of Jezebel and maintaining their good works of love, service, faith, and patience, Christ here commands them to continue to hold fast those things till he comes. So although he said that he will place no further burden upon them than the one they already carried, they must make sure that they continue to hold fast what they already have. Yet not only was this a command to those of the church in Thyatira during the first century AD, it was also a command to us who were a part of the church in leading up to the end of the church age. Yes, we were given no further burden than maintaining our good works of love, service, faith, and patience, and that of standing against Jezebel, that is against the apostate church, in an attempt to keep her from teaching and seducing Christ's servants to commit fornication, that is the worship of false Christs, and to keep them from eating things sacrificed unto idols, that is to believe in her false religions and teachings. And we were to hold fast these things till Christ returns. Which leads us to the question, are we continuing to stand against Jezebel, that is against all the churches, and continuing in love, service, faith, and patience? We should be, as we were here commanded to do so by Christ until he comes. Well, as we now know, Jezebel, the church, continued to teach her false teachings and would not repent. Therefore, God cast her and all those who committed adultery with her, that is, all those who took in her false teachings, he cast them into great tribulation on May 21, 1988, wherein eternal salvation became no longer possible in any of the churches, and the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the man of sin, Satan, took up his seat of rule therein, as we had read, judgment must begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Next, we read in verse 26 of Revelation 2, verse 26, and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Here, the ones that overcome and keep Christ's works unto the end are the elect. They overcome because they were born of God. For we read in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That is, because the elect were born again, or born from above, or we could say born of God, by the time of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, it is guaranteed that they will overcome and keep Christ's works unto the end. For it is God which works in them both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. And he which has begun a good work in them will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, verse 6. Now we are told, to him that overcomes and keeps Christ's works unto the end, Christ will give power over the nations. This refers to the power or authority that Christ gave to his elect on May 21, 2011, to judge the nations. Indeed, as we the elect proclaim destruction upon the nations with the end to any possibility of their ever becoming eternally saved, we are manifesting our power or authority that we have been given over them. Yet this power or authority over them will not be clearly seen by them until the last day of Judgment Day, when the nations will all be physically destroyed and killed forevermore before their very eyes. On that day alone will the nations finally know that we, the elect, have been given power or authority over them, and that power or authority results in their being annihilated because of their sins. So we, the elect, receive power over the nations not because we ourselves overcome and keep the works of Christ, but because Christ overcomes through us. And this power or authority given to us will not be seen until the last day, when our having declared judgment against the nations ever since May 21, 2011 is seen to bring about their complete destruction and killing. Looking now at verse 27 of Revelation 2, verse 27, it reads, "And he that rule them, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." In this verse, we first read, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron." The "he" in the sentence, "and he shall rule them with a rod of iron," refers both to Christ and the elect. We can see that it refers to Christ in Revelation 19, where we read in verse 15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he," that is Christ, "shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." And again, we read in Revelation 12, verse 5, "And she," that is the church, "brought forth a man-child," that is Christ, "who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." Notice that in both verses, the one who is to rule the nations is Christ himself. So that if we let these two verses interpret our verse in Revelation 2, then the "he" in the sentence, "and he shall rule them with a rod of iron," must also refer to Christ himself. But if the "he" in the sentence, "and he shall rule them with a rod of iron," refers to Christ, it must also refer to the elect. For the elect are members of his body, Ephesians 5:30. And they are in Christ Jesus, so that when our verse states that he shall rule them with a rod of iron, the "he" can refer to the elect as well as to Christ himself. So, it is both Christ and the elect who shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. Now, why is it here stated that he, that is Christ and the elect, or both, shall rule them, that is the nations, with a rod of iron? That is, why the picture of them ruling with a rod of iron? Well, normally a shepherd would rule with a stick of wood by which he would gently direct the sheep to go in the way that he desired, because he is a merciful and kind shepherd. But now he is ruling them with a rod of iron, which does not gently direct the sheep, but it crushes the sheep to pieces with the rod of iron. The idea is that when he shepherded or ruled with a stick, that was during the gospel age, he ruled with a stick. There was yet mercy available. But now, in Judgment Day, ever since May 21, 2011, Christ and the elect are no longer gently ruling the nations with mercy, but they are ruling the nations with a rod of iron, because there is no longer any mercy available. Yes, Christ is now ruling the nations as he uses the elect to smite them with the word of God, which has become a rod of iron because it no longer declares mercy in these days, but instead it declares the wrath of God upon them with no possibility of their being eternally saved. Indeed, judgment day has come upon the nations. Next, our verse continues, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. More literally, it reads, as the vessels of the pottery is being broken in pieces. It does not say, as the King James translates it, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, but it says, as the vessels of the pottery is being broken in pieces. In other words, the vessels of pottery are not just being broken in pieces in the future during the day of judgment that we are now in, but they are being broken in pieces right then back in the first century. That is, even as this verse was first being written in the first century AD, the vessels of pottery were presently being broken. This is because the Word of God was already bringing judgment against the nations to break them in pieces even back then. Those who received the gospel were saved, but those who rejected the gospel were spiritually being broken in pieces as the wrath of God came upon them to ensure their destruction unto eternal damnation. Well, let's move on to verse 28 of Revelation 2. Verse 28 reads, and I will give him the morning star. We discover who the morning star is in Revelation 22, where we read in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Thus, the morning star is Jesus Christ. That when our verse says, and I will give him the morning star, Christ is saying that he will give to the elect himself. That is, them who overcome and keep Christ's works unto the end, because they have had Christ working through them, will be given Christ. Oh yes, the elect already have Christ spiritually, but at the end, they will be given Christ in a much fuller way. For we read, for instance, in 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we read in 1 Corinthians 13:12, For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And finally we read, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, For as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Well, we're on our last verse now, and that's verse 29. And we've read this saying in all the previous three churches that we've covered as well, so it's nothing new to us. But it states, He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Here, once again, we're given the familiar saying, like I said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Literally, it reads, the one having an ear, let him, or it could be her, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This reveals to us that the ones who are capable of hearing spiritual things are being commanded to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. That is, this verse is a command for the elect to hear what the Spirit God says unto the churches. It is not just a command for the elect to hear what God says about the church of Thyatira, but it is a command for them to hear what the Spirit God says unto the churches, plural, as the church in Thyatira, singular, was a picture or type of how the churches, plural, would spiritually become, especially near the end of the church age, at their latter end. Well, let's conclude our study. I'll say no more about that since I've spoken on that already. Let's just conclude. In conclusion, we learned that Christ would kill Jezebel's children with death. That is, he would kill all those who followed Jezebel's, that is, the church's, false teachings with death, which he did spiritually beginning on May 21, 1988, when no one could any longer be eternally saved in any church. This ensured that all those who did not depart out from the churches did remain spiritually dead in Adam, and that they will be physically killed on the last day. It is on this last day when all the churches will know that Christ is he which searches the reins and hearts, and that he gives unto everyone according to their works. For on this last day, all those who have remained in the churches and followed Jezebel's, that is the church's false teachings, will see that they are being killed forevermore due to their evil works of worshiping false Christs and following false teachings. But all of us who were yet in the churches by the end of the church age on May 21, 1988, and did not follow Jezebel's, that is the church's false teachings, Christ has put no further burden upon us than to stand up against Jezebel, that is against the church, and her false teachings, because having such a burden is enough burden to have to bear. Of course, Christ wants us to maintain what we already have in the good works of love, service, faith, and patience. But other than these things, as well as standing up against the false teachings of Jezebel, the church, he has placed no further burden upon us. Now we learn that all of us who have overcome and kept Christ's works unto the end, which end began on May 21, 2011, have been given power over the nations, and that we, along with Christ, have been authorized to bring judgment against the nations by declaring the end of eternal salvation for them and their certain destruction because their sins are on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. We are told that we and Christ shall rule the nations with a rod of iron because on May 21, 2011, with Christ, did begin to rule over them with the Word of God, which declares that there is no longer any mercy available to them at this time. Judgment Day has come. They have been spiritually crushed into pieces with a rod of iron, the Word of God, that no longer offers eternal mercy through Jesus Christ to anyone who was not already saved by May 21, 2011. And they are said to be broken to shivers or pieces because there's no possibility of recovery for them. There's so many pieces that they're broken into that they can't possibly figure out how to put them back together. They are now guaranteed to remain spiritually dead in Adam and to be annihilated forever on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Then we learned that Christ will give the morning star to all those that overcome and keep his works unto the end. And the ones that will overcome and keep his works unto the end we learned, will be the elect, of course, for only they have the Spirit of God working through them. Therefore, at the end, the elect will be given the morning star, which will be a much fuller and clearer knowledge of Jesus Christ, for the morning star is Jesus Christ. And finally, Christ says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." And since only the elect have been given the ability to understand or hear spiritual things, they are the ones here being commanded to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And notice that they are commanded to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, plural, and not just what the Spirit says unto the church in Thyatira, singular. This is because the church in Thyatira is a type or picture of how the churches, plural, would spiritually become during and especially at the end of the church age. Well, let's end our study here. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.